Morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf Peches and Shabbos. Okay, we are coming to a conclusion of great sugya in the ninth week of Shabbos. We're talking about Mamad Har Sinai. Yesterday, we tried to create a timeline in terms of what exactly was the hachana, the preparation for Mamad Har Sinai. So let's talk about what we know. We know for sure. Everyone agrees that we arrived at Midbar Sinai and Har Sinai and Rosh Chodesh Sivan. That's a known entity. We also know that the Torah was given on Shabbos. So the only thing left for discussion is when exactly was Rosh Chodesh Sivan. So there are basically two opinions in the Gemara. Gemara quotes Rav Yossi and the Gemara quotes the Chachamim. Rav Yossi says that Rosh Chodesh Sivan was on Sunday. And so Rosh Chodesh Sivan now being Sunday, so that means that they spent a week before receiving, before there was Mamad Har Sinai. And the timeline basically, as we discussed yesterday, was like this, according to Rav Yossi, where Sunday was a day of rest. I know Shabbos is a day of rest, I understand that. But Sunday was a travel day. So we arrived on Sunday at Har Sinai, at Midbar Sinai. So Sunday represented nothing. Monday was where our first Moshe went up for the first time to Har Sinai and was given the instructions, tell the Jewish people, the Atem Tiyuli, Mamleches Kohanim, Goy Kadosh, you're going to be a holy nation, a nation of priests. And then that was Monday. Tuesday, there was the mitzvah of Hagbalah. And Wednesday was the mitzvah of Hafrasha. Now, the problem is that Wednesday being the mitzvah of Hafrasha is that...
3 days.
Right. In other words, the mitzvah of Hafrasha to separate from husband and wife, that was only for 2 days. It says, the Pasuk says, Hayom u'machar, that today and tomorrow you're going to be prepared. So that means that Wednesday and Thursday should have been the Yemei HaFrasha, and then Friday the Torah should have given. And we all agree that the Torah was given on Shabbos. So the Gemara's response on yesterday's daf was that according to Rav Yossi, Moshe added a day. Moshe added a day. He did so based on a drasha that he created. So his interpretation of the, I would say of the Torah, it's not really the Torah. Torah wasn't given yet. But his interpretation of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu's instructions were. And so therefore he added a day. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed, and the Gemara went on to discuss. There were three things that Moshe did on his own that HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed to. This is one of the three things. So the Gemara says that would be the timeline according to Rav Yossi. According to the Chachamim, everything I just said, except instead of starting on Sunday, start on Monday. So Monday we arrived at Midbar Sinai. Tuesday was Atem Tiyuli Mamleches Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh. Wednesday is the mitzvah of Hagbalah, and Thursday is Hafrasha. And according to the Chachamim, there are only 2 days of Hafrasha. It's only Thursday and Friday. And Shabbos we receive the Torah. That is essentially the two timelines of Mamad Har Sinai and the Hachana for Mamad Har Sinai. So, that is our discussion yesterday. The entire daf yesterday revolved around proofs for Rav Yossi, proofs for the Chachamim. The Gemara does not resolve this debate, this dispute. I'd say it's a historical dispute, but it's much more than a historical dispute because it results in the question of how long is a woman going to be Tameya for being Polet to Shechva Zera. According to Rav Yossi, it's 3 days because there were 3 days of Hafrasha, and according to the Chachamim, it's 2 days because there are only 2 days of Hafrasha. Right, which has a lot of ramifications in terms of halach l'maisa, but that's so it's not just a historical debate in terms of Kabbalah Satorah.
Well, it could be Rabbi Yossi also said 2 days, except that the third day was added because the day was not a full day.
Right,
so
right.
I
was thinking the same thing myself. It is a reasonable reasonable argument, but it's Gemara assumes that according to Rav Yossi, it's 3 days. I mean, the Gemara says it. You know, that's where we started the whole discussion. But yeah, I hear you. It's certainly a reasonable argument. Okay, Tashma, now we continue. We're on Peches Amud Aleph, at the very top line of the Amud. And we continue in the Gemara. Tashma, Ditanya, B'Seder Olam. So the Gemara here now quotes Seder Olam. Now this is interesting. First of all, Seder Olam is a history work, but done by the Chachamim. So in other words, it's not history done by a historian, it's history done by the Chachamim. And it gives us the basic timeline from Bereishis to basically the Second Temple. So who's the author of Seder Olam? This one's going to be interesting. Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi is the author of Seder Olam. Now, you would only suspect that if Rabbi Yossi is the author of Seder Olam, so the way he's going to describe Mamad Har Sinai is based on his own opinion. Okay, so now listen carefully. The Tanya B'Seder Olam, we learned in Seder Olam, Nisan Shebo, Nisan Shebo Yatsu Yisrael Me Mitzrayim Barba Sar Shachtu Peschem. So the Nisan in which we left Mitzrayim, which was 2,448 years after creation. Right? Is that about right? hopefully. So the Nisan of that year, so, yeah, I think that's right. So, Shachtu Pitzchei Mechamisha Asar Yatsu, V'Osa Yom Erev Shabbos Ayom. So, and on the 15th day, we Shechted, and that day was Erev Shabbos. Umidereish Yarchad Denisan Erev Shabbos. So that means that Rosh Chodesh Nisan was Erev Shabbos, right? Everyone understand? 15th day of the month is a Friday, so that means the first of the month is Friday. So we work backwards, and now we go forward. Reish Yarchad Yarchad B'Shabbos. So the Rosh Chodesh is going to be on Shabbos. Nisan is assumed to be a full month. So now that's a full month, so that gives us now 2 days ahead. So if Rosh Chodesh Nisan was on a Friday, so that means Rosh Chodesh is going to be on a Monday. V'Sivan B'Trei B'Shabbos. And then that means that Sivan, the Gemara's assumption is that ER is a chaser. So ER, that means to go from ER to Sivan is going to add only one day into the week. So that means now that comes out Rosh Chodesh, Sivan is on Monday. So Kashila Rav Yossi, that's difficult for Rav Yossi. So Amalach Rav Yossi, Amani Rabbanan. So the Rav Yossi says, okay, but that is authored by the Chachamim. And now this becomes extraordinarily fascinating. I mean, we just quoted from Seder Olam. You would have expected Seder Olam to have quoted Rav Yossi's position, and to which the Gemara says, no, even though it's Seder Olam, and even though Seder Olam is authored by Rav Yossi, but that is Aliba de Chachamim, that's according to the Chachamim. Is that, if that sounds wild, so to say, if that sounds crazy, it's not so crazy.
He didn't quote both in Seder Olam.
Right, he only recorded one opinion. That's a Chachamim's opinion. But look, I mean, we're so used to we don't even realize it. Meaning, we're used to the fact that look, our Mishnayos are authored or edited by Rav Yehuda Hanasi. Very often, the Mishnayos takes a position that is not agreed to by Rav Yehuda Hanasi. In fact, Rav Yehuda Hanasi basically yields his position to the more accepted popular position. I don't mean popular, but you know, the more accepted position. So we find that in Mishnayos all the time where Rav Yehuda Hanasi basically says, look, here's what I hold, but that's not accepted, it's not Mekubal, I will write in the Mishnayos the Mekubal position. So when Rav Yossi writes Seder Olam, it's basically the same story. This is my opinion, but it's not the accepted opinion, I'm going to write the accepted opinion. Okay, Tashma. Gemara continues, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Bisheni Allah Moshe V'yarad, Bishlishi Allah V'yarad, Bidalad Yarad V'shuv Lo Allah. So we have in this Braisa, on Monday, Moshe goes up, comes down. On Tuesday, I do mean it. Remember, according to Rav Yossi, we mentioned this yesterday. The day of the week and the day of the month are the same. Right? Sunday is Yom Rishon, both in terms of day and date. Right? Monday is Yom Sheni, day and date. Okay, so I take it back. I do mean it. Rav Yossi Omer B'Sheni Allah Moshe V'yarad. B'Shlishi Allah V'yarad. B'Dalek Yarad V'Shuv Lo Allah. He comes down, he never goes back up. So the Gemara says, but that of course makes no sense, meaning if he didn't go up, why should he be coming down? Okay, so small issue. So let's correct the Braisa. The Dalid Allah V'yarad, he goes up and he comes down. And on Chamishi, so he builds a Mizbeach to offer carbon, and b'shishi lo yalo panai. Now the end of the braisa is on shishi, he simply had no time. That's all the braisa says, on shishi he had no time. We're going to assume right now we're not talking about days of the week, but we're talking about dates of the month. So on the sixth day he had no time. So what is the sixth day? So ostensibly, presumably, the sixth day means that it was the day in which the Torah was given. What else does the Braisa mean when it says he had no time? So my law mishum Torah, so the Gemara assumes that's what's going on over here. Now, if we're correct, that means that the Torah was given on the sixth day of Sivan, which, according to the Chachamim, is perfect. Sixth day of Sivan was Shabbos. According to Rav Yossi, sixth day of Sivan was Friday. So how are you going to understand this Braisa in light of the position of Rav Yossi? So the Gemara says, lo, mishum Torah Shabbos. The Gemara says, no. Ein lo panai means, according to Rav Yossi, it's Erev Shabbos. We didn't receive the Torah on Erev Shabbos. We received the Torah on Shabbos. But ein lo panai means Moshe basically had to put up the cholent. And Moshe was busy with, okay, it's, you know, little hyperbole, but basically Moshe was busy with his Shabbos preparation. So that's what ein lo panai means. A certain Galilean darshant, and he went like this. Praise be HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he gave us a Torah which is threefold. What is the Torah threefold? Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim. La'am Tilsai to a threefold nation. Rashi explains, Kohanim, Levi'im, Yisraelim. Al Yedei Tilsai, through the hands of a third born. Moshe was number three in the family. Miriam, Aaron, Moshe. B'yom Tilsai, on the third day. Now the third day of what? In other words, not the third day of the month, and it's not the third day of the week, it's the third day of Prisha. Right, the mitzvah of Prisha. B'yarcha Tilsai in the third month, which is Sivan. Keman, now who is this going like? Meaning, everything over here is good, except for the third day of Prisha. What do you mean the third day of Prisha? That's not true according to Rav Yossi. According to the Rav Yossi, it's the fourth day of Prisha. Meaning Rav Yossi has 3 days of Prisha, followed then the Torah was given after that. So Keman Karabanan, so the Gemara says, obviously, this particular Galilean holds like the Chachamim when he goes on to this, you know, he strings together all these threes. And here we begin. Okay, that pretty much will end our discussion now regarding whether the Torah was given on the sixth day of Sivan and the seventh day of Sivan. What's the bottom line? It's a machlokus. I know that's not much of a bottom line, but the bottom line is it's a machlokus. Machlokus between Rav Yossi and the Chachamim. In terms of Polat Teshichva Zera, so we generally go like Rabbi Yossi. So that means that for 3 days she is the Zera is considered potent. But in terms of the historical reality of when the Torah was given, so the Gemara remains that it's a machlokes. It's two varying opinions in terms of what the date was. Meaning, was it the sixth day of Sivan or the seventh day of Sivan? What happens nowadays is that we celebrate Shavuos on the sixth day of Sivan. But that's not because we've decided which one of the two is correct. I mean, in other words, our Shavuos is not a date. The Torah never gives a date for Shavuos. It's 50 days after Pesach. Not the first day of Pesach, the second day of Pesach. But it's 50 days after Pesach. It just happens to be that it lands on the calendar on the sixth day of Sivan, but that's not because we're Paskening. A popular question amongst the Achronim, I'll just raise the question and then we're going to move on. You're not going to find this in the Rishonim, it's in the Achronim, is that if you accept the Gemara's daf yesterday, which is that we left Mitzrayim on a Thursday, okay? The 15th of Nisan was on a Thursday. Now, we just learned in the top of our Amud that Seder Olam doesn't agree with that. Seder Olam says that we left on Friday. Okay, but if you go back to yesterday's daf says that we left Mitzrayim on a Thursday, and then, so that means that we started counting the Omer what day of the week? So we started counting the Omer on Friday. Okay. So now, if you fast forward 50 days, okay, let's see who's good with the calendar. If you fast forward 50 days, the 50th day is going to be, fall out what day of the week?
Sunday.
If the first day of the Omer is on a Friday, that means next Friday is going to be 8 days in the Omer. Yeah. The next day, so not Shabbos. Not Shabbos, it's going to be Friday. Hmm. It's going to be Friday. 50 days later, it's going to fall on a Friday. Which means that Shabbos is 51 days. 51 days of the Asiras HaOmer. And so it bothers the Achronim that, again, assuming that we left Mitzrayim on Thursday and the Omer now started to count on Friday, so then it comes out that the day we receive the Torah is not 50 days, but 51 days. And meanwhile, Shavuos, the Yontif of Shavuos, is 50 days. Okay, so that question is taken up by all the Achronim. I saw Rabbi Kornfeld on his site discusses this at length. He gives a number of answers to this. Okay, it's an Achronish question. Shabbat was the 51st day. No, everyone agrees. The Torah was given on Shabbat. That is a fundamental tenet of the Gemara over here. The Gemara does not deviate from that at all. Just a question of what date of the month was it. And now what we're going to do for the rest of today is Darshan, actually Mamad Har Sinai. Meaning, look, we're on the topic. We're in the right place to talk about it. Now we're going to talk about it. What exactly occurred at Mamad Har Sinai? So, we start with Psukim from Parshas Yisro, Perek Yutes, Vayisiatzvu B'tachtei Sahar. The simple pshat in the Pasuk, Pasha pshat is that we camped out at the base of the mountain. But the Gemara over here gives a drasha, and I have a good feeling that everyone here is familiar with this drasha. Amar Rav Avdimi Bar Chama Bar Chasam Alam Mishikafa Kosh Baruch Hu Olem Esahar Kegigas. Kosh Baruch Hu took the mountain and suspended the mountain over our heads. And gave us the following choice. It's a very simple choice. V'amar lehem, imata mekabel matar motav. If you accept the Torah, that's great. V'imlav shamtei kvuraschem. But if not, this is where you're going to be buried. And it's really an easy choice. There's nothing like free choice. I'm Rav Acha bar Yaakov mikamo da Rabba la Raisa. And Rav Acha notes, obviously, we're coerced to accept the Torah. And at this point in time, we have what's called the Moda Rabba. Moda Rabba means basically it's a protest. In other words, if a husband is, let's say, forced to give a get, so what he could do is he could make a formal protest, and he could say, I'm right now currently coerced to give a get. I am not doing so on my own volition. And that has legal ramifications. So too, as the mountain is being suspended over our head, and we're just given a simple choice of either accept the Torah or I drop the mountain, so now we have a legal right to protest and say we were coerced to accept the Torah. Amarav afa pikein adur kiblu b'meach hasherosh. Now Rav says, agreed. But there came a point in time historically where we were mekabel the Torah willingly. We agreed on our own volition to accept the Torah, and that's Bimei HaChashverosh, during the story of Purim. And where do we see that? We see that in the Psukim, Dechsev Kima VeKibla Yehudim, the Jews accepted, and even though the simple Pshat in the Pasuk in Megillas Esther is Kima VeKiblu, we accepted the Yontiv of Purim, the Gemara goes deeper, and the Gemara says no, that the Kima VeKiblu is going on the original Nesina Satara. Kimo Masha Kiblu Kvar. Look, we already accepted the Torah, but now we're agreeing with volition and with our own willingness to accept the Torah. Number of points over here. First of all, let's deal with Tosis's basic point, which is the following. We were coerced to accept the Torah, at least that's what our Gemara tells us. Tosis asks such a simple question. I'm sure everyone's thinking about it. What do you mean we were coerced to accept the Torah? We have something called Nasa Vinishma. Nasa Vinishma, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, are you ready? And we said, ready? For Nasa, first we're going to do Vinishma, and then we'll hear. We're more than ready. We accept anything you say. That's what we said to Maamon Har Sinai. So how do you put together now our Gemara that we just learned and the Pasuk in Chumash? So this is Tosis' question. Tosis gives an answer. I want to go over two other answers. One of them I just recently learned. And first, Tanchuma. Now, this Tanchuma I've known for a while. The Medrash Tanchuma says, it's a great Tanchuma. Medrash Tanchuma says that the Nasa Venishma mentioned in the Torah, that's going on in Torah Shebechsav. The Kafalem Harke Gigis, the first coercion, that's Daf Yomi. Right? That's Torah Shebaal Peh. Okay, by compulsion, we were told to accept the Torah Shebaal Peh. And the simple pshat in the Tanchuma is that, look, Torah Shebechsav, that's a finite amount of Torah, right, with very clear parameters. But now you're talking about rabbinic interpretation, rabbinic legislation, Torah Shebaal Peh, Daf Yomi, 2,711 pages of Gemara. Like, you know, how about this? How about we just take Torah Shebechsav? So that, Kafalem Harkegigas, so that we needed coercion. And then it begs the question then, this Tanchuma, well, if that's true, so then why during the Yemei HaChashverosh did we then all of a sudden willingly accept Torah Shebaal Peh? What's the connection between Purim and our acceptance of Torah Shebaal Peh? So on this, I found a beautiful Netziv, really beautiful, where the Netziv writes that what happened in the story of Purim is that a miracle took place on behalf of the Jewish people, but it wasn't a nes nigla, but it was a nes nistar, it was a hidden miracle. And basically what we had to do is we had to sift through the day-to-day story of Purim, and we had to find the Kadosh Baruch Hu in the day-to-day. And so basically the Netziv writes is that what we realize at Purim is that you're going to go beneath the surface. And that's basically what Torah Shebaal Peh is. Torah Shebaal Peh is basically a layer, more than just one layer, of beneath the surface. Meaning Torah Shebechsav is just basically, that's the quote-unquote, the superficial, not superficial, but that's what we see. But then when you go beneath it, though, that's Torah Shebaal Peh, and that's what we realize during the Yemei HaChashverosh. That's how the Netziv spells it out. It was what it was, meaning it was Torah Shebaal Peh, it was the oral tradition. Right. We don't know. Another answer I saw to this question of Tosos, again, the question is such a simple question. We have Nasa Vinishma means that we were willing to accept the Torah. Our Gemara says, Kafalem Harke Gigas. So I just recently saw, and again, I thank Rabbi Kornfeld for this, I saw the Ramban. The Ramban says that Nasa Vinishma will accept the Torah, but that's an Eretz Yisrael. But then, kafalem harkegigis, is that we have to accept the Torah even when we're outside of Eretz Yisrael. Now you should know, the Ramban, his general theme, he writes it a couple of times in Chumash, the Ramban says that mitzvahs outside of Eretz Yisrael, you know what they are? Target practice. Okay? In other words, when you're not living in Eretz Yisrael, so the real force of all the mitzvahs in the Torah is in Eretz Yisrael. Okay, outside of Eretz Yisrael, we gotta practice. We gotta learn what it means to be like a good Jew. But we're not really good Jews until we live in Eretz Yisrael. The Ramban was he was an ardent Zionist. In fact, you know the Ramban, in his older years, he trekked to Eretz Yisrael. So the Ramban says, look, in Eretz Yisrael, Nasa v'nishma, we're totally willing to accept the Torah. But then outside of Eretz Yisrael, really, the outside of Eretz Yisrael too, kaf aleim harki gigi, so that we needed coercion. And then, according to the Ramban, it's easy to understand. What's kimu v'kiblu by Achashverosh? Because the whole story of Achashverosh took place in a place called Persia. And there, we're outside of Eretz Yisrael. Kimu v'kiblu, meaning at that point in time, we willingly accepted upon ourselves the Torah, even outside of Eretz Yisrael. Okay? Another resolution to Tosfos is Kasha, about Nasa v'nishma versus Kafalem Harkei Gigas.
The Kimu, the Kiblu parallels Nasa v'nishma. No.
Right, right. Kimu, the Kiblu. Uh-huh. Very good, uh-huh. Very good. Okay, Amar Chizkia, my dichsiv. We are back to the Gemara, we're in the middle of the Amud. My dichsiv, Mishamay Mashmaz Din. Eretz Yir of Eshakata. Pasuk in Tehillim describes how there was a great noise from heaven, and then the land was quiet. Sorry, the land was fearful and then quiet. And the Gemara just wants to know, how do you understand the Pshat? Obviously, the Gemara is going to understand the Pasuk B'derech HaDrush, but how do you understand the Pshat? Im yireh lama shakata. Well, if you're afraid, why are you quiet? Im shakata lama yireh. And if you're quiet, why are you afraid? In other words, the Gemara assumes that fear means there's panic, and that obviously means that when you're panicking, you're not quiet. Ela b'tchila yireh l'sof shakata. The Gemara says, well, first, there was yireh, there was fear, and then there was calm and quiet. V'lama yireh k'dereh reish lakish tam, reish lakish may dichsiv ayir v'yivoker, yom hashishi. And I have a good feeling that everyone's familiar with this drasha. The yom hashishi, every other day of the week in Maisa Bereishis is yom shlishi, yom revi, yom chamishi. And then we get to Friday, it's yom hashishi, with the extra A. Hey, Yisera, Lamali, Malami, Shanasan, Karsh Baruch Hu, in Maisa Bereishis, Karsh Baruch Hu made it tonight. A condition with Maisa Bereishis. Vamalahem, Im Yisrael, Mekabla, Matara, Atem, Is Kaimim, Vimlav, Animach, Yerzchem, Matar, Vavo. Creation will sustain, but only if the Jewish people accept the Torah. So at Mamad Har Sinai, a short 2,448 years later, after creation, so now the world realizes that its existence will only now be contingent on Kabbalah's HaTorah. So if we accept the Torah, that would be great, but if we don't accept the Torah, so then the Eretz knows that that's it. So that's why originally Yira, but once we accepted the Torah, Shakata.
And Hashishi refers to...
Right, it's interesting, the Gemara didn't bring this into the discussion of yesterday's daf. Right, why didn't... Yeah, right, this would be a proof for the Chachamim against Rav Yossi. We accept that we received the Torah on the sixth day of Sivan. Okay. Darsh Rav Simai B'shash Shiktim Yisrael Nasal Nishma Bo Shishim Ribo Shem Alach Yeshar Sechol Echa V'echem Yisrael. At the time that we said Nasa, and we put Nasa in front of Nishma, which the Gemara is going to point out is one of the biggest secrets in the world, of putting Nasa in front of Nishma. So along comes the Malach Yeshar, 600,000 of them. And goes to everyone, every member of the Jewish people, Kashalo Shnei Ksarim. And they attach two crowns, Echa Keneg Nasa V'Echa Keneg Nishma. One crown for Nasa and the other crown for Nishma. V'kem Shechatu Yisrael. And then once the Jewish people sin, Yardu Me'a V'Esrim Ribo Malachi Chavala. Along comes now the Malachi Chavala. Now, 120, let me say it simply, 1.2 million of them came. U'Pirkum. And remove the crowns. It is interesting to note, I don't have anything good to say about it, but it's interesting to note that for the malachim who put the crowns, they were able to hold both crowns, so there were two crowns for each malach, but for the malach echavala, they needed one malach echavala for each one of the crowns that's on their head, and they couldn't just simply take off the two with one, they couldn't just simply take off the two. I don't know why that is, but certainly interesting to note.
Here it is.
He has a note? Yeah, he's good like that.
The destructive angel has less strength than
the... Yeah, okay. That's I assume something along those lines. Good. Oh, good. So, I'm sorry. Tosos over here. Very good. Shenem Rav Yisnatzel B'nei Yisrael Esed Yom Er Chorev. Okay, and the Pasuk says, Vayinatzlu. Okay, it was removed. Amar Chamar B'chanin B'chorev Tanu B'chorev Parku. We were loaded in Chorev, and in Chorev also we were removed. B'chorev Tanu K'damarn. B'chorev Parku D'chsiv Vayinatzlu B'nei Yisrael. It's exactly as we just described. When we said Nasav and Ishma, the crowns were put on our head. But then with Chet HaEgel, crowns were removed. I'm Rav Yochanan V'kulan Zacha Moshe V'natlan. Now who got all these crowns? These crowns that just didn't disappear? Moshe got the crowns. D'samachleya Moshe Yikach Es HaOhel. And somehow an Ohel is a reference to Moshe receiving all the crowns. The Rashi makes a connection between Ohel and the receiving of the crowns. You can see Rashi inside for that connection. Eventually the crowns are going to be returned to us. Shenemar uftiyeh Hashem yishuvan uvautzion b'rina v'simchas olam al rosham simcha shemei olam al rosham. We're going to be reinstated. Once we were redeemed, we're going to be reinstated with these crowns. Amra v'lazer b'shar sheikim yisrael nasal nishma yapsa baskol v'amra. When we say Nasa v'Nishma, and we put Nasa in front of Nishma, out comes the Bas Kol, and the Bas Kol announces, Migila Livni Razeh, who told my children this secret? Shemalach Hasharetz Mishtam Shembo Dichsev, and in Malach Hasharetz, they're familiar with the secret, but how do my people know the secret? Baruch Hu Hashem Malachav, Gibore Choach, Osei Devaro, Lishmol Bekol Devaro. See the Pasuk in Tehillim. The Malachim are described as Osei Devaro. They do. And then Lishmol Bekol Devaro. And then they listen. And that's basically Nasa V'Nishma. And we somehow were in touch with that secret. Bereisha Osei V'Ado Lishmol. I'm Rabbi Chan, remember Rabbi Chanina, my Dichsiv. Ketapuch Ba'atzei Hayar. The Pasuk in Shir Hashim describes a tapuach, like a tapuach in the field. Now, I'm specifically not translating it as an apple, even though that would be the modern Hebrew translation. But perhaps it's not an apple, and you'll see why I say that in just a moment. Because when the apple develops, first the fruit, then the leaves. Same thing with the Jewish people. First the nasa, that's the fruit. And then the nishma, and then the leaves. Right, the fruit is the nasa, and the leaves are the nishma. Now, if we're talking about an apple, it's a little bit difficult because that's not how an apple grows. An apple is not fruit first, then leaves. Apple is first leaves, then fruit. Take a look at the Baam Tosfos on the Amud. Kiksha Rabbeinu Tam Shari Anuroim Shegadlo Kashar Ilanos. So, just empirically, we see with our own eyes that that's not how the apple grows. Umefarish Rabbeinu Tam explains the Tapur Chaynu Esrog. That when it says tapuach, it's esrog, right? One of the biggest misconceptions is that the eitz hadas that was eaten by Adam and Chava is the apple, right? The forbidden fruit is the apple. It's not a Jewish concept. I don't know where it comes from. It's not right. Anyway, the Gemara has a number of opinions of what it is. It's an esrog, it's wheat, it's grape. Okay, but it's not an apple. Anyway, could be that part of the misconception. I don't think this, what I'm saying is right. But in other words, here you have an example of where the Gemara says the word tapuach, and Rabbeinu Tam says it's talking about an esrog. Maybe. Anyway, Hainu esrog v'reich apcha ketapuchim etagamin kerecha de esroga. The esrog, and Rabbeinu Tam goes on to write, the esrog period kodem la'alav. But it is true regarding an esrog where you're going to see the fruit before the leaves. Shadar bi ilam ishanel shana, because the esrog fruit stays on the tree. It does not shed, not much like most of the fruit shed off the tree, fall off the tree when the season is finished, but the esrog stays on. It's dar mishan l'shan. In fact, the Gemara in Sukkah brings down, that's one of the proofs that we know, that the pre-eitz hadar mentioned in the Torah is in fact the esrog, because it stays on mishan l'shan, hadar mishan l'shan. V'achar shana noshon alav, shal ishtakiru v'ayin alav acherin, havipir yukarma osan alin. And so now think about it, meaning, as we go now into the next season, so all the leaves fall off the esrog tree, but there's the esrog fruit right there. So from the perspective of next season, the fruit came before the leaves. Okay, so Rabbi Natan says that perhaps the our Gemara over here is referencing an esrog, even though the word that's used is tapuach. Okay, anyway. How is the duki de chazil Rava to kamaim b'shmaita? A particular tzaduki was observing Rava engrossed in learning. And Rava was so engrossed in learning, what happened is that by accident he steps on his own finger, and his finger started bleeding. Amalei, now the tzaduki is watching Rava, and he's thinking to himself, my gosh, I cannot believe it. Amalei, ama paziza, you are an impetuous nation. Right, we just had yesterday in Chumash. Right, Pachaz Kemayim. Right, the Yaakov describes Reuven. Right, Pachaz means you're like impetuous. You're like you don't think, you just do. So obviously Yaakov meant that in a negative way, and so too over here, the heretic when he was talking to Rava certainly meant it in a negative way. The Kadmisu Pumaychu Luunaychu Akati BePechuzezaychu Kamaisi Bereisha. I'm sorry, Kamaisi. Meaning, just like your forefathers, they put their mouth in front of their ears. Meaning, they said, Nasa v'nishma, look at you, you're the same thing. You're sitting there, you're learning, your finger's bleeding. You don't even realize your finger's bleeding. Like, you just, what's wrong with you people? Meaning, here's what I would have suggested, had I been there, Kabbalah Sarsi and I. First, hear out what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has got in store for you. Think about it, and then yes, say yes or say no. And meanwhile, look at you. Look what they did, and look at you. Amar Lei. So Rava responds, and he says, Anan disaginan b'shlumosa ksivban tumas yisharim tenachem. Hanachinish disagam b'ilusa ksiv b'hu v'self b'ogdim yishedim. And essentially, Rava's answer is basically like this. Look, who's the one giving us the Torah? It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We know He would give us exactly what we can handle. He will not give us anything more than what we handle. In other words, it's an element of trust. We trust HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he says, are you ready to accept the Torah? So our response is, Nasa v'nishma. Take a look at that top Rashi on the Amud I'm going to read. He is Halachnu imo betum lev. We relied on him. Okay, he's not going to give us something that we can't handle. And that's in the Pasuk in Mishlei, Tumas Yisharin Tenachim. The word Tumas from the word Tom, meaning complete. We were totally trusting in HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he was going to guide us and lead us correctly. That's why we said Nasa V'Nishma. You, on the other hand, who are Ba'alilusa, you're a perverse people. So therefore, in other words, you don't trust. So regarding you, it says, V'selef bogdim yishedam. Now the end of the Pasuk in Mishlei, meaning that because you're a bogid, because you're rebellious in nature, so obviously you're not going to trust. And that's why for you, you first would have listened, and then you would have, if it sits with you, then you would have complied. Am Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Am Rav Yonos Amai Dechsev, Levav Tani Achosi Kala, Levavtani ba'achas me'inayach. Pasuk in Shir HaShirim. The Gemara now is going to expound on Levavtani ba'achas me'inayach with one eye. B'tchila ba'achas me'inayach lechishatasi b'shteinayach. Meaning, at Mamad Har Sinai we said Nasa v'nishma. Great. That was our agreement. We agree. So that is the achas me'inayach, that's the one eye. And then, when we actually do that shteinayim, Amar Ula, Aluva Kala Mizana. The Torah describes that we were embarrassed. Aluva, embarrassed. We were chutzpadik. Kala Mizana. The Besoch Chupasa. Right under the Chupah, meaning Anmar Mamad Har Sinai, so we were Mizana. We committed Znus, an act of infidelity. Amar Mary Barad de Bashmo, Maikra. Asha Melch Mimisibo Nerdi. While the king was at the Mesiba, at the assembly, at the Chasna, Nerdi, my perfume, went and floated to somebody else. Meaning, Cheta Ego. Right there at Mamad Har Sinai, where we declared our faith and our fidelity to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we become infidels to Cheta Ego. Now, Amar Rav Adayin Chavivusahi, even though the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim describes us as somewhat going off, not somewhat, Cheta Ego, but even the word that's used to describe us is Nerdi. Nerdi, Nerd is one of the spices for the Ketores, and the Pasuk that uses, it's a soft word that's used, meaning the Torah doesn't describe it, the Navi doesn't describe it as us being srucha, like there was like a stench, but it was rather our perfume. So chavivusu gaman dechsev nasam veloksev hisriach. So at least as the Shir HaShirim is giving us a reprimand, a tochacha, it's tempered a little bit in the wording that it uses. Torah Rabban, the Gemara quotes a braisa, aluvim ve'enam ovim. This is a description of tamidei chachamim. They themselves are embarrassed, but they don't embarrass others. Shomim cherpasam ve'ina mishivan. They listen to them being mocked and ridiculed, but they don't find any need to respond. You're going to see the Rambam brings all this down in Hilchos Deos, where the Rambam says that a Talmid Chacham allows himself to get embarrassed and doesn't feel the need to respond. The Rambam writes, basically, Talmid Chacham realizes it's not worth it. Meaning, okay. So, Ve'ina Meshiva Mosim Yava Vesmechem Yisurim Alei Makas of Omer. They accept it with love, and any suffering that they receive, fine. The Pasuk says regarding these people, Avav Ketzes Hashemesh Bevura, so that Avav, the ones who love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ketzes Hashemesh Bevura, so are like suns, strong like the suns, radiate like the suns. And if you want to take the comparison to sun just one step further, meaning just like the sun, where the moon complained about the sun, and the moon said regarding the sun, I don't understand, it's him and me? And the sun said nothing. So that should be like the Talmid Chacham. Talmid Chacham, other people say, what about him? What's the story? And so the son said nothing. I'm Rav Yochanan Mai Dichsev Hashem Yitain Omer Hamivasrot Tzava. I'm sorry, Tzava Rav. Kol Dibur V'Dibur Shiyatza Mipi Agvur Nechlak L'Shivim L'Shonos. Every one of the Diburim that came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu splits and breaks up into 70 different L'Shonos. Tani Debe Rabbi Yishmael Chepatish Yefotzeis Sela. Just like when the hammer hits that anvil, so sparks start flying. Ma Patish Nechlak LeKama Nitzotzos Av Kol Dibur VeDibur Shiatzam Mipi Kadosh Baruch Hu Nechlak LeShivim LeShonos. The words of a Kadosh Baruch Hu broken up. In other words, you have a pasuk in Chumash, and it can be interpreted in a number of ways. What do we say? Shivim Panim LeTorah. 70 faces of the Torah. Amar Rav Chanan bar Papa Mai Dichsev Shamu Ki Nigidim Adaber. Pasuk in Mishlei says Ki Nigidim Adaber. Nagid means generally a leader. Lama Nimshla Divrei Torah Ki Nagid. The words of the Torah compared to a Nagid. Lama Lacham A Nagid Zeyesh Bo Lahamis Lachios. A leader, a true king has the power to bring death or to bring life. Af Divrei Torah Yesh Bam Lahamis O Lachios. Same thing is true regarding Divrei Torah. It has the power in it, lahamis ulachios. Haynu damer avalemai minim ba samadachai lamas minim ba samadamavta. If you apply yourself to the Torah, the Gemara describes it as those who are to the right. We're not speaking politics right now. But those who are to the right, samadachai, they're going to live. And those who are to the left, samadamavta, they're going to die. Again, we're not speaking politically. The Rashi explains the mai minim, meaning those who really apply themselves to Torah, just like a maimin, someone who is right-handed. Obviously, if he cares about something, he's going to work on it with his right hand, meaning the dominant hand. If you give yourself proper attention to the Torah, Torah becomes Sama Dechaye. If, however, Masmi Ilim, Rashi says, left-handed, whatever, you don't give it its full attention that it deserves, that is Sama Demafsa. Davar Achir Negidim Kol Dibur V'Dibur Shiatza Mipek Hashem Baruch Hu Koshel Moshnek Sarim. Every one of the Diburim that came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, two crowns were attached to it. Am Rav Yeshua ben Levi, my dichsiv, back to Shir HaShirim. Tzror Hamor Dodi Li Ben Shaddai Yalin. The Pesukim in Shir HaShirim, remember Shir HaShirim is Kodesh HaKadoshim, meaning that the simple Pshat in Shir HaShirim, we don't say. We say a deeper Pshat in Shir HaShirim. It is a metaphor, it's homiletics. So describing the love, Sura Hamor Dodili Ben Shada Yalina Amra Knesset Yisrael Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ribono Shel Olam Af Al Pi Shemeitzer Umeimar Li Dodi Ben Shada Yalin. Even though we antagonized you, and we were not good at Mamar Har Sinai, but Ben Shaddai Yalin, you still are resting Ben Shaddai. The Ben Shaddai, Rashi explains, is a metaphor. Take a look at Rashi. I'll read Rashi inside. Amra Miyad La Soslo Mishkan, meaning right after Mamar Har Sinai, what do? We make a Mishkan. Lios Mitzum Samosh Chinaso Ben Shnei Habadim, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu is Mitzam same. So funny, everyone thinks it's such a Kabbalistic idea. Simsum of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But meanwhile, Rashi on today's daf. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu comes down and he dwells between the badim. Those are the poles that are holding the aron. Shenir b'mikdash rishon kishnei shadayim. And the metaphor is that the two badim look like the two shadayim of a woman. Dochim avoltim b'paroches shekenaged ha-pesach, pushing through the wall, or the curtain, I should say, that separates the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So even though we were antagonistic to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu still resides and rests upon the Jewish people. Pasuk goes on, we're back to Shir HaShirim. Eshkol HaKupar Dodili B'Karmi. Kofir. I don't say Shir HaShirim every Erev Shabbos. This is apparent. Eshkol HaKofir Dodili. A cluster of a certain fragrance and spice, henna. The karmi ein gedi. Misha kol shalom mechaper li al avon gedi. And the Gemara again relates how this pasuk in Shir HaShirim is a reference to a Kadosh Baruch Hu provides for us a kapara over ein gedi avon hagedi, the sin of the calf. The pasuk goes on to say, "Shekar masili bundled up for me, my mashma dai karmi lishna demachnish." How do you see that the word karmi means to bundle up? So Amar Mar Zurcher Bei Rav Nachman Kidanan. Well, you know your mishnayos and kalim. Of course, that's a big if. If you know your mishnayos and kalim, 23rd parak of kalim, kisei shokove. So the mishnah over there describes the chair of the launderer. Shekormim alav es hakalim, where he sits in the chair. And he gathers in the kalim. So you see that the word koreim, kormi, means to gather in. Your cheeks are like a bed of spices. Called dibur v'dibur shi'atam mi pikadosh baruch hu nesmalek olam kulo b'samim. Every word of a kadosh baruch hu gives out a pleasant fragrance to the whole world. V'kevin shem midibur rishon nesmalek dibur shein elehechen halach. Now, how does that work? If the first dibur of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, remember, at Mamad Har Sinai, there were asara dvarim. There were 10 utterances. So if already by the first utterance, the entire world is filled up, so what happens with the second dibur? Hosei HaKadosh Baruch Hu aruch mi atzosav v'ayamavir rishon rishon. So what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is he has a wind, and it disperses, and now we have a new pshat in mavir rishon rishon. Right? Okay. Right, and with every one of his utterances, so it provides a pleasant fragrance, and then it spreads it out. With every dibor, what happens is the neshamas of Yisrael basically leave our body. Seems to be, the correct shot over here in the Gemara is, it leaves our body because we were terrified. Meaning, we cannot imagine, it happens once historically, where the entire nation of Israel hears HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And our neshamas leave our body. Shenemar nafshi yatsa b'dibro. O me'achar shemidibar rishon yatsa nishmasam dibar sheni hech kiblu. So, simple question. So, if our neshamas leave our body after the first dibor, how do we hear the second dibor? How do we hear the third dibor? Harital she'asid. I'm sorry. Hechiblu harital she'asid la'achios ba'mesim ve'hechaya osam. Down comes the dew, and the dew is what provides tchias ha'mesim. You know this. I know this because of the second bracha Shmona Esrei. Second bracha Shmona Esrei is all about the tal. It's all about the dew. And in the second bracha Shmona Esrei, Baruch Hashem mechayei ha'mesim, resurrection of the dead. So here the Gemara describes that the Tal comes down, resurrects the dead. Shenemar geshem nidvos tanif. Elokim nachlasecha v'nile ata konanto. So the describes how the rain comes down, lavishes the earth, and the weary come resuscitated. Resuscitation of the dead. Rami Rav Yishua ben Levi called Dibor v'Dibor Shiatzah Mipikash Baruch Hu Chai Zutzor L'Acharem Yud Beis Mil. With every one of the Diborim, so we retracted, we recoiled, we went back 12 mil. And Vayu Malachi Asharis Medadanosan. And the Malachi Asharis would push us back, would kind of guide us back, so we were ready to hear another one. And the reaction to hearing Kadosh Baruch Hu is so great. Shenemar Malachi Tzvakos, Yidudun, Yidudun Al Tikra, Yidudun Allah, Yidadun. Again, it's Madadin. We were basically escorted back to hear it again. I'm Rav Yishol ben Levi, Misha Sha'ala Moshe Lamarim, Amru Malachi Asharis Lefnei Kadosh Baruch Hu Ribono Shel Olam. Mal Yilud Isha Beinenu. So now Moshe ascends up high, and he's there with the Malachim. And the Malachim said, wait a second, something here does not belong. And they point to Moshe, he's Yilud Isha. He's born from a woman. He has no business here. Amalem Lekabel Torah Ba. So Kadosh Baruch Hu gives a simple response. What do you mean? He's here to accept the Torah. It's pretty straightforward. Am lefanav chamora genuza. Sorry. Chamuda genuza shegenuza lacha. Tesha meil v'shivim arbim daras konim. Shenevra olam. Ata mevakesh lin labasav adam. You've been holding this in your storage for 974 generations before the creation of the world. Anyone understand those numbers? 974 generations? So Rashi helps us understand. You've been paying attention to your Pesukim of Zimra on Shabbos morning. So one of the Parakim and Tehillim that we say is 105th Parak of Tehillim. And it says in that Parak, Davar Tziva Le'elef Dor. The original plan was is that Torah was going to be given to the 1,000th generation. Now Moshe was not the 1,000th generation, and Moshe was only the 26th generation after Adam HaRishon. The math is very simple. 10 generations from Adam to Noach, the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. 10 generations from Noach to Avraham, and another 6 generations from Avraham to Moshe. So it's only 26 generations. So the Malachim point out that we are 974 generations premature in terms of giving the Torah. Rashi points out, V'ra'a HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm reading from Rashi, V'ra'a HaKadosh Baruch Hu She'ena Olam Miskayim B'lo Torah Kol Kach V'heviram V'lo Baram V'nisna L'chav Vav Doros. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu see that the world cannot exist without the Torah for another 974 generations. And so although the original divine plan was to go 1,000 generations, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it 976 generations earlier. Okay. Again, obviously I'm limited in my understanding of all this, but I just share with you the simple pshat of the Gemara. So this is the time that they had against Moshe. So Kodesh Nivra Olam Atam Evakshelin Labasav Adam Ma Enosh Kisis Karenu Ven Adam Kisif Kedenu Hashem Adonin Ma Adyashimcha Bechol Arts Asher Tana Hodcha Ala Shamayim Amalok Kodesh Baruch Hu Moshe. So now the Taina of the Malachim are, you're not going to give the Torah to him, mortal man. So Amalem Kodesh Baruch Hu Moshe Hichzil Lem Tshuva. So now Kodesh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, okay, you defend yourself. Okay, I'm planning on giving you the Torah, but let's see. Let's see how you defend yourself. So Moshe says, look, I have no problem defending myself, but then what's going to happen? They're going to burn me with the hevel shebepiyem, the exhaust that comes out of their mouth. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, hold on to my kisei kvodi. That will become your base. You'll be safe on base. And no problem, you won't be burned. Shenemar me'achos p'nei kisei. Parshaz alav anenu. V'am Rav Nachum Lama Shapir Shakai Meziv Shkinasov v'anenu alav. So, and what he was able to do was hold on to the ziv Ashchina, and he was able to respond. Am alafan Rebbeinu Shalom Torah Shata Nosin Li Maksiv Ba. What does it say in the Torah? Anoch Hashem Lokech Hashem Tzitzchem Eretz Mitzrayim. Am alam leMitzrayim Yiratam leParo. Hishabadnu Torah Lama Tehei Lachem. Shuv. Maksivba lo yelecha Elohim acherim bein amim. Atay shruyim. You know what? Now that we're here, let's stop over here. Tomorrow we'll continue. We'll talk about the defense of Moshe to the Malachi Asharis. Okay, it takes us well into tomorrow's daf. Okay, good. Today's daf revolved around Mamad Har Sinai. So again, we finished off today's daf. The machlokus between Rav Yossi and the Chachamim. What day of Sivan to receive the daf? Well spoken. Not intended, but well spoken. So according to the Chachamim, was the seventh day of Sivan. According to Rav Yossi, the seventh day of Sivan. According to the Chachamim, sixth day of Sivan. The Gemara left it unresolved. And then we talked about Mamad Har Sinai. We darshened the Tachtis Ahar, Kafalem Harke Gigas, and then we went on to describe over the course of today's daf what was given in Har Sinai, the Nasav Nishma, the secret of Nasav Nishma, and a lot of beautiful Agadata related to Mamad Har Sinai. I'll stop over here, and tomorrow we pick it up from the very bottom of the Amud.